Let's open up our Bibles this evening to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's have a word of prayer. The Heavenly Father, we are thankful for, as it's been mentioned, this privilege. Lord, a privilege that you gave us to have life. Lord, you formed man from the dust of the ground in the garden, and you breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Heavenly Father, we're a living soul. Heavenly Father, these bodies will go back to the earth from where they came one day. But dear Lord, the soul will return to God who gave it. And Lord, the soul will give an account for the deeds done in this body. And Lord, we want to be faithful to you, dear Lord. We want to be pleasing to you, dear Heavenly Father. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the kingdom of God prepared for you before the foundations of the world. Lord, that's our desire, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, when we ponder that and think about it, even say it, dear Lord, it seems to be so far off, dear Heavenly Father. As Brother David and some have said, we don't have too many years left on this earth. But dear Heavenly Father, that thought, dear Lord, we just can't comprehend that to a point. But one day that will be reality. Dear Lord, there have been many saints that have sat here just in the last few years, dear Lord, and have gone on to the reward. And the only Father, as Sister Ann mentions from time to time, they're enjoying what we're longing for, dear Lord. So the only Father, we want to make heaven a home. We thank you for this privilege of being in the house of God, to sit under the sound of the gospel, to sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as the word is given, dear Heavenly Father, that it can touch our hearts and our minds and help us, dear Lord, to draw close to you, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, you see some of the thoughts I have here tonight. We ask you to bless. We ask you to open up our ears and our understanding, dear Heavenly Father, and to receive, dear Lord, as I said many times, receive what you've given to me. And dear Lord, many times these messages are wonderful blessings. And dear Lord, I feel I struggle many times just to get my main thought across, dear Lord. So I ask you to bless us as we deliver this message this evening. And we'll thank you for that. Anoint me, anoint the word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. In 1 Corinthians here, chapter 10, we're going to pick up in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock that flowed, that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as some were, and some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,320,000. And neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take it heed, lest he fall. There shall no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." In verses 6 through 11, he mentions some things here about the children of Israel back during the time with Moses. And he goes through these verses. We're not going to reread these. But he says there in the latter part of verse 11 there, "Now these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come." You know, the whole Word of God, we need to realize, is an example for us.
And I believe sometimes we need to remember that the plan of salvation has been from the beginning of time, from Adam and Eve all the way until the end of time, and that all these things that happened in the Bible were an example for us, were for our benefit, were our, for our reading, for our understanding, to glean some benefits of the enemy, of the world, of ourselves, of these trials that we go through of life. And we see here that God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we know that, we're going to just take a little bit of thoughts here with these. And we know that as children of Israel, as God brought them in Egypt, God allowed a famine, they came in there, and then Egyptians took over and put them in bondage, and it was hard bondage. And we understand that there are types and shadows of the Old Testament and of the New Testament. And we know that that bondage to the children of Israel was a type of sin. And we know that as they were in bondage for over 400 years, I believe it was, and they could not of themselves get out of that. They desired, they prayed, they cried out to God. And I often thought about that from time to time, just on my own ponder. You know, many generations passed. You know, this generation was young in her 20s and everything, and they were had hard, the Bible said they had hard taskmasters, they were had hard lives, things were difficult. That was a type of sin. That was a type of today's sin. People are in sin today, and the devil is a hard taskmaster. He drives them to be happy over here, to be happy over there, the destruction of this, the destruction of that. Just drives them to try to find peace and contentment, and they never do, because he knows there's no peace there. But in those, in that children of Israel, in the age of 20 years old, praying and pleading to God, eventually that generation passed. And they had children, and that generation passed. And the, you know, over 400 years, many generations passed. And I always pondered that, and I thought, Lord, help us. You know, help us to be encouraged. Help us to be to have trust and faith in God. They were in bondage for all those years, and they could not get out of that at all themselves. None of them could leave. None of them could figure, well, you know, I've been here for a long enough time, I want to retire. There wasn't any of that. There is no retirement in God's kingdom. We never get to a place in living for God for so many years. I've been living for God for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 80 years. I've been living for God all these years. Sister Hawk, I guess, is the one that I've ever known that has lived for God the longest there. But there was not a retirement time. There was never a time to become retired. The same way with sin. You don't live in sin so long. You know what? By now I can have grace of God because I've been living in all these. That's not the way it works. They could not remove themselves from sin, from bondage there, and people today cannot remove themselves from sin. He says here in these verses, he gives us examples of things. And in verse 7 there, we're going to look at a couple of these, verse 7 and 8 and all. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. You know, we live in a time, in our country, we don't see too much of it, but I believe in other countries, and maybe even in our country, and we can look at it in this particular aspect, we don't worship idols today. I say that as I say it, I think about something. You know, there are still people that do that. There are still, and I guess I should retract that thought, because people do. There are people in some churches, they've got a statue of Mary, and they worship that. And Joseph, those things, they worship things. They worship certain things in life. They worship candles. They worship different idols and different things of different gods. And not only just the things of God, but people worship whatever they want to worship, even themselves. And he says not to be idolaters there, not to be idol worshipers, as were some of them. So he's telling us as an example not to be these. And I'm going to jump a little bit ahead to just try to get my thought for this evening and go back a little bit. And what we're looking at tonight is following the examples of the Word of God. We can make heaven because of the examples. I thank God for the Word of God that we have. So it can warn us of this thing and that thing and not to do these things and how to work and how to live for God. He says, be not some of these things, idolaters, as some of them were, as is written. The people sat down and eat and drank. We got people doing that today too, don't they? Let's have a party. There's a song. There's a country song. I don't remember how all the details of it go, but But how true it was is when I was young, the song says when I was young, and it really wasn't necessarily a sinful part of it. He goes, when I was young, and I can remember this when I was young, my thoughts were hardly past Friday night. You know, you're in school all week, it's Friday, you don't have school Saturday, let's just have a good time for the weekend. I wasn't going out drinking and other things, but that's how your thoughts were. It's hardly past Friday night. There are people today that are going to be sick tomorrow at work because they've been drinking and partying all night long, all weekend long, just as they did. They said, let us rise ourselves up, let's eat, let's drink, let's play. He says in verse 8, he says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed back in that time, an example of us today, not to be committing fornication, and there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted Christ, and were destroyed by the serpent. And verse 10 says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. All these things were happening to an example. You know, there are many people that debate the Word of God and about this and that, but there are so many things that are plain, that are simple there. And again, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead. We need to be an example today to the lost world. We need to show people how to live. We need to let people know that maybe certain things are wrong, certain things come up in our conversation or in a relationship with people, letting know God's not pleased with these things. As the Old Testament was an example, was a shadow, was a type of things of how we need to live today as saints of God, we also need to be examples to our family, our loved ones, our neighborhood, our community, our friends. These things, he says there, happen as an example. And he says they were recorded for our benefit. If we reject this, we don't know how to live for God. We don't know how it's pleasing. I think Brother Danny was mentioning a little bit this morning about the problems in the schools and that thing that happened in Kenwood the other day and what the trial is. And you may go out and see little children, absolutely having a fit. You know why? Because they're not corrected. And you know why they're not corrected? Because our society has said that that's wrong to do. Our society says, and this wasn't even a part of my notes, our society says that the Bible is wrong. Because the Bible says, God says, spare not the rod for their crying. He's not talking about abusing a child, but he's talking about bringing a child under correction. We all have raised children in the years ago, and we know when you give them a proper spanking and things, a proper way of doing it, let me tell you what, they straighten up pretty good after a while. They don't keep running their mouth and crying and screaming and having a fit like that. But God says there, spare not the rod for the crying. Another verse that the Bible says there, and the Bible says, he says, if you do not correct your children, you know what the Bible says? You hate them. God says, if you don't correct your children in a proper way, you hate your children. So examples of the Old Testament are not followed through the time of our day. In the New Testament, we see a great destruction and falling away from people. We need to be examples. And he said it was recorded for yours and my benefit. I thank God that in life we can go back into the Word of God. So, Lord, I need to know how to live. You know, in the years, in several years, there have been situations come up, and I've said this before, in ministers' meeting. I've been in ministers' meeting. They brought questions or situations up I never thought of. But I went back and started studying them. I went back and started looking into them. I've had situations in my own personal life and things. I'm like, Lord, how am I supposed to react? Or how am I supposed to do things? I've had to go back into the Word of God and study how God did. Not because I didn't know, but because that wasn't a part. God runs us across some things. So these things were recorded for our benefit. And verse 5 there, he says, but of many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In Revelations chapter 20, in verse 12, I actually had it written down, I wasn't going to go over there, but Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, And another book was opened, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. I believe with all my heart this is going to be at the judgment part. This is going to be, it says books. There's going to be books. I believe the Word of God is going to be there. You know, if you're ever given a test in life, and you want to, remember when you got a driver's license or any other thing, you had to have a test, you had to pass it, they gave you a book, study this book. Now, if they gave you a book to study and you studied it and they changed everything on the question, it wasn't in that book, you were in trouble. But he says, you study this book, and if you study this book, and can you remember when you took the driver's license? I know some of you. I know Brother Herschel, that some of you may not have even took them, they just walked up and they may hand it to you back in the days. I don't know. But I can remember that. I think it was, if I remember, it was only 20 questions. It was electronic. I was doing electronic back in them days. That was all new. I pushed a button and had the question, and I hit one of the answers. But I can remember, and I was terrible with tests. I was worried. But I studied the book, and even when we did our CDLs, that was a huge test. I studied that for weeks, if not months. And I remember when I took the test, and I remembered I could start reading the question, and I knew the answer just by the beginning of it because I studied the book, and I passed the test. I always thought this was one, just sort of had a little bit of thought. Remember, you're thinking, I'll ask you this question. I always remember one of the questions on it. It was kind of a, they tried to reword it. They says, let me try to think of how they did it. When it started to rain, when was the most critical time on the road for slipping or whatever? When it very first started to rain, after it had been raining a hard time, or after a period of time, I can't remember how the questions were, but you would think that they had questions somehow. When it started to rain, a very first hard time, but that wasn't it. After a period of time where the water had the time to draw the oil up and it got slick. But they were trying to diffuse it. But if you'd read the book, if you read it and you knew it well enough, you passed the test. And I thank God. I thank God he's not going to make us know this whole thing. If that page is all I have in life, that's all he's going to require me. God's a fair God. I remember Sister Jones used to say that, I think, when she went to different places. Sister Jones, she said sometimes that's all they had was a page. And they memorized that entire page. They didn't even have to read it. They knew it inside out, upside down. But God is a fair God. He'll only require us to pass on the things that we know. But we have to know them. And if we reject and say, I don't really want to learn that, God will hold that accountable to us also. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. I believe the Word of God is going to be the book. And it gives us many examples. It gives us some examples of how to please God. You know how to please God? Those of us that are married, you know how to please your husband and wife? You know how to make them happy? And it says, tells us how to please God. I'm not going to give an example of all these, but over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, read the first couple verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, and intercession be given of thanks and be made for all men. But this is what part. For kings, he says, given thanks and intercession for all men, prayers for all these people. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior. Some people say, I ain't praying for our president, I ain't praying for our mayors, I ain't praying for our governments, I'm not praying for the leaders of our land. Well, God says you should. God says you should. That doesn't mean you agree with everything. That doesn't mean you agree with everything they're doing, but Lord, help them. Give them wisdom. How to please God. We can know some things by the Word of God, how to please God. The Bible is a good roadmap for us to tell us how to make heaven a home. There's a lot of people, they have their own idea how I'm going to make heaven. But the Bible tells us how to make heaven. The Bible also lets us know what it takes to make hell our lifetime and destinies. The Bible teaches us how we're to treat one another. Gives us an example of godly people and gives us an example of ungodly people. He tells us that. And he tells us to sometimes refrain from certain people. He says sometimes it's the best of your ability. You just leave people alone. There are some people you just cannot please. He goes on to verse 13. We didn't read verse 13, and here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He goes on to verse 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." I'd venture to say there's not a one of us in here that has had our own little pity party from time to time. "Lord, nobody's going through what I'm going through." And I've done that. And the Word of God, that verse has come to me, and the Bible says, it says that there is no temptation, no battle, no trial you've ever gone through that is not what?
Common.
You go out there on the road, you see white cars everywhere. They're common. Gray cars everywhere. They're common. Everybody wants to buy. They're common. They're happening every day. And he doesn't say just every once in a while, but they're common. There is no temptation, none. No trial, no battle, no situation you go through that is not common to man. I believe this should encourage us from time to time, because we can battle the devil with that, because that's from the devil. "You poor thing, nobody's gone through this temptation. Nobody's gone through this battle. Nobody's gone through this heartache that you're going through. And you should feel sorry for yourself and get everybody else to feel sorry for you," or whatever. Well, devil, the Word of God says that you're a liar, because there are many people that have gone through the same battles as I have. Many times the devil tries to make us think we're alone. But the Bible says even Jesus was tempted in all points. Now, we don't have all the information how Jesus was tempted. We only have just a little couple occasions how Jesus was tempted. We know that the one time he was taken up on a mountain where the enemy tempted him three different times. We know the one time when he was on the cross and they criticized him. And he said, "If you're truly the Savior for the world, if you're the Son of God, get yourself down from there and we'll believe you." We know he was tempted, and he was probably tempted many times. He was probably tempted to be king when they wanted to make him a king. He fed thousands of people. He healed all kinds of people. "Let's make you a king." He had to leave and hide. He had to get away from them. He was human. He was probably tempted, and in one sense, I guess, I don't know, the Bible doesn't say that, but look what he could, like that, change everything. He can change authority. He can give people great. He can have abundance of food. Over in back in the Old Testament, during the children of Israel, when they were hungry, what did he do? Was it quails they brought in? Deep. As far as the eye can see, they brought in enough food there to feed millions of people. But he refrained from doing that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. "For we have not a high priest, thank the Lord, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." We mentioned it the other day, I think Wednesday, talking about support groups. You know, there's all kinds of support groups, and the purpose of our support groups is because people have gone through the same things. You know, if you've gone through cancer, or you've gone through a death, or you've gone through whatever, a divorce, anything, whatever it could be, there are groups that can get together and you can talk because you have a common ground. In verse 15 here it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Why? Because he was tempted in all points as we are. See, one of the greatest things about Christ not only coming to live among us, being born as a baby and living among us, he experienced all the things from a baby, as from as old as you can know a baby, understand, all the way through. I don't know if he had a terrible twos or any of that, but all the way through to sixes, sevens, teenagers, young adults. He didn't start preaching to his 30s and things like that. He had to come to the place to submit to his mom and dad when they had gone to the temple. And after, and that always boggles my mind, after what they were gone a couple days before they realized he wasn't with them, they go back and he was sitting with the doctors and all the Pharisees and all there, and he was teaching them at 12 years old. And he had to submit to his parents and be obedient to his parents. So he went through all those things that we went through and all the temptations that we went through. And that's why he says here in verse 15, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we, as we are, yet without sin. God knows, Jesus knows everything that we go through. Why? Because he was human. In the garden, he prayed. He said, Lord, if there's any way we can allow this to pass, allow it to pass. How many times have we prayed, Lord, allow this to pass? And it didn't. But he came to the place and he said, Father, not my will, but yours. And he had the grace to go through what he had to go through. He knows how to help us to go through it. Jesus had been through all these things. There have been many people in the Old Testament, in the gospel time, they've been through the same things that we have. And we need to read them, we need to know them for an example. You know, some of us, we haven't been through many troubles and things, but Christ has. I've never sat across of a desk from a doctor and they've told me I have cancer. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know that devastation. I can't even begin to imagine that devastation to anybody. But Christ knows what we feel. Of a passing of a loved one, of an instant of catastrophic event, of whatever. We don't know what's in the future in the years to come that we have on this earth. And we don't have, with the wars that are going on and problems across our country, we don't know. But God knows he can give us the grace and he can be a comforter to us in every point that we have to go through. I thank God for these things, but I also know what it's like to have the devil tell us. As I mentioned a minute ago, I don't know what it's like to have somebody tell me I have cancer, but I do know what it's like to have the devil tell me that God doesn't love you. See, God doesn't, or the devil doesn't spare any weapons. That God doesn't love you anymore. God's forsaken you. God's gone away. God's not there. And how many times have we been in that situation, and there's times where we say, Lord, I don't feel you. I don't represent you. I think it was Job back in there one time, and he mentioned that. He goes, I looked north, I looked south, I looked east, I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find God. But one thing, and that verse has encouraged me from time to time too. One thing I know, God knows where I am. And thank God. And the Bible says, when you've done all to stand, stand still sometimes. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I've prayed, I've read, I've trusted you. I don't know. Well, then just stand still and you wait for the salvation of God like he told the children of Israel back at the Red Sea. I thank God for some of these examples that we have for the Word of God. He gives us encouragement. We're not just lost floating out there in the world. We have some good anchors in the Word of God to tell us some things. What to do to stand still, what to do to move. Sometimes you need to go, sometimes you need to stop, sometimes you may need to back up or whatever. But I thank God that he can bring us those times. I remember when Jesus was with the disciples and he told them one time, and I've always kept this in my mind because sometimes it boggles your mind, that he told the disciples, don't try to think about what you're going to say when you're before the authorities. Don't think, well, I need to say this, this, and this. He says, God will give you the words to say. And sometimes when we're with someone or we're testifying or dealing with someone, God can give us the words to say. And sometimes God says, be quiet. I've had God do that from time to time. God says, Jesus, don't need to enter in that conversation, just leave it alone. Sometimes it's harder to be quiet, to be, yeah, but I got to say something than it is just want to say something or want God to tell you to say something. God says, I want you to interact. Sometimes that's more difficult to do than when God tells you to be quiet, and you've got to be quiet. But God can give us that grace. Jesus one time cried on the cross as he suffered there. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knows what it feels like to be alone. Jesus knows that what it feels like to where, as I said a little bit, it feels like God's not there. You know, David said those same words. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 22. David, Psalm chapter 22, David says, verse 1 and 2, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Have you ever been in a battle or maybe discouraged or whatever, and God give you the words, or God allows you to read something in the Bible, and you just laugh and you say, Lord, help me, forgive me for being a wine baby, so to speak. Look at what he says there. Why hast thou forsaken me? Thou art so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring, Lord. Where are you at? Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Where are you at, Lord? I'm crying to you. I'm asking you. Jump down to verse 15. He really gets into it a little bit. In verse 15 here, David says, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaved to the jaw, that thou hast brought me into a dust of death. Look at verse 16. For dogs have compassed me, and the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, and I pierced my hands and my feet. You know, David's sometimes crying, pleading, Lord, look at the condition I'm in. Look at where I'm at. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we get in that condition. But I read to you earlier back there, it says that things that we go through are common to man. And if you can be honest with yourself sometimes, maybe you felt that way, you felt distraught sometimes, and you think about that verse, it's common to man, and then you feel bad because now I was on my own pity party. But that's the blessings of the Word of God. He can encourage us. He can help us. He can help us to get up out of that rut, out of that pit. You know, David said some of these things here. I was thinking back during the time of Esau and Jacob. Remember when Esau came to Jacob? He came to Jacob. He says, what did he tell him? He goes, I'm at the point of death. I'm going to die unless you give me something to eat. He wasn't there. Sometimes we may feel that way. Lord, if you don't help me now, I'm going to die. God says, you'll be all right. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the message, I thank God for the examples that we can have. The Old Testament and New Testament, we have to read them, we have to dig into them. But then, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Showing thyself a pattern of good works. There's a verse in the Bible that says that the saints shall judge the world. I believe that there will be people that will stand before God, that God may use us as an example. There may be a lot of people that we know. There may be some people we do not know that we just cross paths with someday. I was on vacation one time, and I don't know what they were. I don't know if they're Mennonites or what they were, but how they were dressed differently. And they were sitting like over here in front of me, like over here. And I just happened to look over, and there was a lady right in front of me. And I watched her looking at them, and they were looking, she was looking up and down. And I can just see the wheels turning in her mind. And I just watched her for a few minutes, and I thought to myself, I thought, I wonder what God's talking to her about. I wonder what's going through her mind. I wonder what that she recognizes that these people are different. There's something different about them. I wonder what's going through her mind. You know, people may see the same thing. God will put us in a particular example to people to show ourselves. And I've given you some examples sometimes. It may even come up to lying. It may come up to a point to where you may testify that you don't lie, you don't steal, you don't gamble, you don't drink, you don't do some of the things. And that's a witness. And some people say, well, why don't you do those things? Because the Bible says so. The Word of God says so. We're an example to the world out there. And he says there in verse 7, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works. Help us, Lord. I thank God for the examples of the Old Testament staying true and faithful. Lord, help us as saints of God to be an example to our family, to our loved ones, to the world out there, that someone can get salvation from us through the examples that we live. The Bible gives us examples how we're to be like Christ. The Lord expects us to be a good example also. And all things showing that pattern. A pattern means consistent. You ever make anything? I think it's interesting when I get a piece of furniture or something, or you go somewhere and you buy a little table or whatever, and it comes in a box that wide and about this big, and the table's this big and this high, you know. And you start putting it together, and if you read the directions, which you have to, it's amazing. And I think about it that you know, there's a tool that drills that hole perfectly every time. Boom, boom, boom. Some of you, Bro Dane, probably, and some of y'all, my ever drilled a hole? So I need to drill a hole, and I need to drill the same exact hole. And you drill this hole, and you take another piece, and you drill that hole, and you drill two holes or four holes, and you try to put a bolt through all four of those holes, and one hole doesn't line up. Unless you have an exact pattern. And those exact tools, you know, drill presses and things, there's certain things. I've done that so many times. This bolt to go in, that bolt to go in, and this bolt's a little tight, but this bolt ain't nowhere near close. And you got to drill it or make it bigger. A pattern. Consistent. Help us, Lord, to be consistent.
Amen.
We're children of God today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, however long the Lord allows us to be. I thank God there are still people in my life that I don't see often. But when I do see them, they want to know something. You still go to church. And you know what? That may be the first question they ask me when I haven't seen them for 10 years. You still go to church? And I'm thank God. If I said no, I really think some of them would be disappointed. I believe they would, because the consistency has been there all these years and something changed. The consistency and our pattern is Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be as Jesus Christ, to pattern ourselves after the example, showing a pattern of good works, uncorruptness. Verse 8 there, he goes on to verse 8. We didn't read that, stopped at verse 7. He says, sound in speech. Thank God when I left one job and went to another, the one boss told the one other parts guy, he goes, all the years that Doug worked for me, I've never heard foul language come out of his mouth. I thank God for that. I thank God. They notice it. They recognize it. And I thank God even the day the men that I work around, there are several of them, they refrain from their language when they talk to me. And they even do it a little bit among each other if I'm in the area, not too much, but they refrain from their language. They know some things. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Keep your finger there. I'll be right back here in a minute. But in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
And in 1 Timothy 4 and 12, we just read that. Let no man despise their youth, but be an example of the believers in word. He says in Colossians there, let your speech always be with grace. In verse 12 here in 1 Timothy there, he says, let be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the believers. Am I encouraging you or am I hindering you? Are you encouraging me or are you hindering me? By our words, by our actions, by our examples. How are we dealing? Not too many of us young anymore, but he says, let no man despise you. But be an example to the Lord. Verse 13. Again, some examples. How are we living? Till I come, give an attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Neglect not some things. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance to the service. Neglect not the gift that God had given thee, salvation. Don't take it for granted. Don't abuse it. Don't just throw it away, which is given thee by the word of God. Given these things, examples, are we an example to your neighbors, to your family, to your loved ones? Are we an example there? Verse 15 there. Also, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may be appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear. I think that would be a wonderful blessing and credit to us as saints. That someone makes heaven, someone got saved because of our example to them. I believe that would be a wonderful credit. A wonderful blessing. Someone got saved because we were faithful. Someone got saved because we acted proper to them when they were acting ugly or when they had a hard time and we were kind to them. We were patient with them. Whatever it is, because the Word of God teaches us is that way we are. The Bible says there, he says, pray for those that, he says, love thy enemy and pray for them that despitefully use you. You know, we can say that, but when we put that into actions, I think Brother Danny or someone said it, actions sometimes speak louder than words this morning, I think you mentioned it, to love your enemies, to pray for them that despitefully use you. When those words are put into actions and people recognize them, I think, Lord, what a blessing if somebody can get saved because somebody was kind to me. Somebody reached out to me and was an example of God's true love to me in my life. Are we following the examples of the Old Testament, of the gospel time? Are we following examples? And are we being a good example? Are we showing other people these examples? Are we showing other people what the Word of God says? Paul, one time, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Help us, Lord, to express Christ in our lives in such a way that people will have a longing to follow us. As I read to you, back here in Colossians, I'm going to go back and grab that one more time before we close. But over in Colossians chapter 4 there, in verse 6, he says, let your speech always be with grace. And the second part here says, season with salt. You know, there are some food that you just can't deal with without some salt. You just got to have some salt on it. I mean, it just, I don't know if corn in the cob would ever be any benefit without some salt. Got to have something on it. Some french fries. Got to have some salt. There's some salt. Why? Because it makes the appeal to taste better. And he says there, season with salt. Now, we don't pour it on. We don't dump it on, but just a little bit. Season with salt that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. God, give us that grace. God, give us the tenderness to speak with people, to deal with people, that we may be an example to those who are lost. May the Lord bless you. As we have a song.
Let's turn to our psalm book, page 372. 372.
Thank you.